The show is brought to you by Organifi. Organifi Green Juice promises to deliver all the healthy superfoods you need in just one drink. It's a green powder that promises to deliver endless energy, mental clarity, and fewer sugar cravings. As a loyal listener of this show, you'll receive 15% off your order. My personal favorite is their Sunrise to Sunset Bundle, as it includes three of the best sellers. Use my promo code WRESTLING15 to get 15% off your order today. That's Organifi. Shop.com. Organifi spelled O-R-G-A-N-I-F-I. Organifi, O-R-G-A-N-I-F-I. So go to OrganifiShop.com and order yours today.
Fox Sports 1340 AM presents to you
WMER, Wrestling Marks of Excellence Radio, starring The Firm, J-Lo, Nephew, Corey, and Dr. D, bringing you the latest up-to-date information on professional wrestling and sports entertainment. Now, live from the Fox Sports 1340 studios in Hopewell, Virginia.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another edition of the Wrestling Marks of Excellence here on Fox Sports Radio 1340 AM and 96.9 FM. I'm your host, Glenn Thomas. As always, with me is the wizard himself, Nephew Corey. Wizard, what's going on, brother?
Hey, what's going on, man?
Man, not much, man. We seem like in the last week since we had the show, we'd have had so much wrestling. It's crazy. We had the Super Showdown, had Monday Night Raw, had SmackDown, you had NXT. It's been wrestling, a wrestling palooza around here. But let's get to the Super Showdown. I want you to see. We haven't talked since last week, so I want to get your thoughts on the Super Showdown show coming from Australia. What was your match of the night from that show?
To be honest, the match of the night, it was probably the Cruiserweight Championship, realistically. That's the match I enjoyed the most coming out of that. I'll put it this way. For nostalgic purposes, I thought Hunter versus Taker was done very well. But from a pure, you know, match of the night, if I had to say match of the night, I would say it's the Cruiserweight Championship. And you know, congratulations to Buddy Murphy. I mean, he's definitely a player for them. I could see something where they, you know, he gets his run in the Cruiserweight division right now, and then he bulks up a little more after that, and they put him on the main roster. Hey, the kid's got something. He does.
Yeah, he does.
I think he really, really, really will show that. You know, starting with the Cruiserweight division, and then onward probably from there.
Yeah, you know, I was one who said that I thought he would not win. I was wrong. I thought Cedric would get it, but it made sense. After watching it, why Buddy Murphy would get the win. Like I say, it was, you go back to watch the first match they had was tremendous, and this match they had also tremendous here. And Buddy Murphy, you know, he's come a long way. It has come a long, long way, you know, to where he's at right now, being 205, you know, 205 Cruiserweight Champion, you know, and that's hats off to 205, actually, because the product, if you don't watch it, the product has grown within the last year, 2 years that it's been on. You can see the progression of 205 and how it's gotten better each year. You know, and people don't want to say it, but Enzo really helped start that go to where it's at right now. Cedric Alexander took it to another level, as well as guys like Buddy Murphy. So it's hats off to him. But my match of the night, you know, I like that match. That match was good. But I mentioned on the my review of the Super Showdown, I really enjoyed the Undertaker Triple H, maybe because it was like an old school wrestling match, but it told a story and wouldn't have too many high spots in it. I thought that match was done really well. Even I thought the ending was done well. How the celebration, then the turn per se by the Brothers of Destruction. I thought that was put together real well. I mean, Samoa Joe, of course, Samoa Joe AJ Styles match had you drawn in.
Can we touch on that for a second?
Go ahead.
That was another match where, how do I want to put it? That match pretty much is where you knew what you were going to get out of that, and I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean that in the sense of that's probably why that match wasn't match of the night to me, was because with that match, you already knew it was going to be really good, but the performance-wise, that Buddy and Cedric put on, that match kept you more into it. AJ and Samoa Joe is like, okay, you already know this is going to be good. so you don't watch it with as much of an enthusiastic approach, because you're kind of like, you know you're going to get a good match out of that.
Yeah.
So you look for another match to maybe step up or something like that, and that's what it was.
It was. I mean, that match was Buddy Murphy and Cedric Alexander definitely stepped up. It definitely stepped up and took it. And I like the placement of that match, too, because usually when you get the cruiserweight matches, you usually get that match early. But they put that match right before the main event. You know.
Oh,
so
yeah. You knew you had to get the that was the feel-good moment for that night, because but in hindsight, when you look back, you see how Taker and Triple H ended. So you had to get some kind of a feel-good moment. And that was it. And they went crazy for him in there. So I thought it was done well.
Definitely.
I like the way the Iconics were, and Naomi and Asuka was done, in the sense of putting the Iconics over. Like, they needed that win. And
boy, did they.
Hopefully. Yeah, they really did.
They really needed that. Well, since coming on the roster, I can't remember them really winning together.
That's what I'm saying.
Or having too many wins.
Yeah, so hopefully this breaks up Naomi and Asuka. Not necessarily somebody turning on each other, but get Asuka back to what she was. I mean, I just, it's sad to say this, and I didn't think this would happen with her, but it's almost looking like, here comes that NXT curse of being put on the main roster. Like, here it comes with Asuka. That's how it feels.
It does feel that way. I think she missed out because of her not winning at WrestleMania. And I know a lot of people out there disagree that she should have lost. But I thought she should have won, and her and Charlotte should have had a longer feud, not just like as I thought was a one off. Thought that feud should have been a little bit longer. She still could have picked up her loss, but she still would have saved face, because after that, where has she gone? And right now, there is no number three player on SmackDown for the women's title. After Becky Lynch and Charlotte's feud is over, who's next in line?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know what? And it's funny you say that, because granted, I think we talked about this way back when, right after Mania. Granted, I firmly believe if anybody was to break the streak, it should be Charlotte. And I agree with that. But I think Mania, you should have had Asuka win. I mean, granted, Mania is, if you're going to break the streak, you do it at Mania. So I agree with that, and I agree with it being Charlotte. I don't have a problem with the ending of that match. However, the case can be made that I think for Asuka's career overall, Asuka probably could have won at WrestleMania. I just let her run with it till SummerSlam and have, I guess, I mean, we're saying all this in hindsight now because of everything we know that happened since then, but I feel Asuka could have won. I really feel Asuka could have won.
Yeah, it could have been a two-woman race. You know, I just want to see how they throw her back into the title picture after this Charlotte and Becky Lynch feud, whoever finishes as champion. You know, if we saw on SmackDown the other night, on this past Tuesday night, that Charlotte and Becky Lynch is not over. They will continue to feud going into the Evolution pay-per-view, that they will be in the last woman standing match. You know, we saw Charlotte spear Becky Lynch through the Titantron. This feud has really evolved. This feud has really showed what both of these women can do as superstars and as competitors, and it really has taken it to another lot and showed the hatred that they have for one another, and they really real good friends in real life. But nonetheless, Becky Lynch is doing a good job. Your thoughts on this upcoming Last Woman Standing match in Evolution, and how do you like this thing that's grow? We know we have somebody that talks to us daily that didn't like this Becky Lynch heel turn, but she's a heel.
She's a heel, and that's what you need to let her be. Let her be a heel. And honestly, I think Becky wins it in a heelish way. I'll give an early prediction right now. I think Becky wins at Evolution. I really do. And it's going to be some kind of heel way, and Becky barely escapes, and she wins. I think Becky is now, and I don't want to sound cruel, I just think Becky has become interesting again. It was a time in which I truly feel that Becky was not interesting. She was very complacent, and I'm glad they did something with her. But for a good while, for a good year, pretty much, you were doing nothing with her.
Yeah, she got real boring after her title run.
Yeah.
After her title run, she got real boring. People like Naomi stepped up. You had the Bella Twins there. Nikki was on SmackDown at the time. Carmella was coming in with a new flavor, new feel. Becky Lynch had got lost in the sauce.
Yes, she did. Absolutely.
And you still had Natalya. Natalya was still on SmackDown at the time. Becky was just lost. So you had a heavy roster where Becky Lynch was. She fell in that mix.
She mainly fell because they pushed her so hard at the beginning. And that wasn't wrong. That wasn't the wrong thing to do, because you had to have somebody solidify the women's division on SmackDown, and it was her. But because she had been pushed so heavy in the beginning, she fell victim to circumstance that, okay, we've got to put so many of these other women over. And Becky was just first. So then she got completely lost. But like I said, for a good year or so, you can. And like I said, not to sound mean, but you kind of just didn't care about Becky. You were kind of like, okay, we know she's on the roster, but like, you just ran off. You had Naomi, you had Natalya, you had Alexa Bliss, you had Carmella, you had so many people that kind of needed the rub. And because Becky was already a four horsewoman, you know, it was kind of like, okay, we have Becky in the back pocket. Like, we're always going to be good. Becky was like Natalya for a little bit, in the sense of they were always good. We knew what we were getting out of Becky. We knew what we were getting out of Natalya, you know. That's what and Lana, too, in the sense of they had to push Lana, too. Like, there were plenty of women. The roster was pretty deep in that sense that they had to put people over. So she got lost.
But she also fell in that mix, too, that she wasn't on Total Divas. You know?
Yeah, about that. And I like Total Divas. I like the show. I don't care. I'll admit it. I don't care. I watch it. I'm interested in it. But, yeah, you're exactly right. If you're not on that show, they book that heavily. They book, if you're on Total Divas, they book in your favor. And they do, which is smart business-wise. Because that's what the casual fans are, fans that don't really watch or go to wrestling. But they're watching. They're watching Total Divas.
They are. They're watching. They're definitely watching Total Divas. You know, this week's past week on SmackDown, we also saw, we know that Daniel Bryan won a Super Showdown, that he was taking on AJ Styles. We also know now that The Miz says he's got next at the, whoever wins at Crown Jewel between Daniel Bryan and AJ Styles. Do you like how this is going with The Miz being involved in the...
Yeah, because I love it. I love it. No, I already know where you're going. You know why I love it? Because it's going to end up with Miz being WWE champion. That's exactly how this is all going to end. You still have to include Daniel Bryan because you're not stupid. You're not going to include one of the top... I mean, the problem... Well, yeah, you're not going to not include the number two face on SmackDown. You're not. And Daniel Bryan is still the number two face. There's a strong case for that being Jeff Hardy, but I still think it's Daniel Bryan until otherwise. I still do.
I think Bryan is the number two face. I'd like to see him and Miz stay married to each other, if that it makes sense, without actually
having... Yeah, I know exactly what you're saying.
Without actually having to, you know, fight each other each and every week. I think that makes sense there. AJ Styles will continue to be champion. I still think Samoa Joe somewhere down that line gets the championship.
Okay, interesting.
I think somewhere in there Samoa Joe gets it, you know, and maybe in those months leading up to Royal Rumble, I wouldn't be surprised if Joe wins the Rumble. I wouldn't be surprised there. I also wouldn't be surprised if Joe would be the person to win Money in the Bank next year. But I think before we get to this point next year, Samoa Joe will have a title run as WWE champion if he stays healthy.
Okay. Cool.
I think that's where the money's at. But I also think the money is AJ Styles and Daniel Bryan as a crown jewel.
Right.
Pay per view. Good money there. Mm-hmm. We also had the return this week of Kurt Angle this week on Monday Night Raw. Like Baron Corbin and hate Baron Corbin. This is some of Baron Corbin's best work.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Somebody's really not holding his hand, but for lack of a, you know, they're pretty much guiding him to where it's working. It works for him. He was already drawing heat regardless, in which it's pretty rare, you know, to do that. And I think that only helps whenever that happens to you as a wrestler, is that you're so annoying or people find you so bad that you just draw heat regardless, and then your work improves. Because at the end of the day, creative, you know, they should, and most times they do, they recognize that. So they're gonna definitely put you on if they can.
Yeah, and for those who don't know, we're talking about Kurt Angle kind of returned as a conquistador this last Monday night on Monday Night Raw, and won the gimmick, I'm going to call it the gimmick battle royal, to be the winner of the battle royal. We'd be put into the World Cup, which you could see at the Crown Jewel pay-per-view. And the participants now that's in the World Cup, you have John Cena, you have Kurt Angle, you have Randy Orton, who defeated the returning Big Show on SmackDown, and then you have Jeff Hardy, who defeated Kurt Angle. Who defeated Samoa Joe on SmackDown. So, and there look like there's four spots left for this World Cup pay-per-view. And I saw something on the internet. It's like, if you really want to do a World Cup pay-per-view, bring some other people from other countries into this thing. I think WWE is going to keep their main stars in this World Cup.
Yeah, I mean, it's a gimmick tournament. And they're strictly having this tournament because they're getting paid $20-something million or something like that for this pay-per-view they're having in Saudi Arabia. That's the only reason why they're having this. Like, come on. For people to be so non-kayfabe, you're overshooting.
They're getting $20 million, and this $20 million is getting Shawn Michaels out of retirement.
Right, you're overthinking it. In which you better believe Shawn's getting definitely a minimum seven figures for doing that.
Yeah, if he's getting out of retirement, and I know you're a Shawn Michaels guy, we're gonna save that for a little bit later.
Mm-hmm.
Your feelings on this. You know, Sean's coming out of retirement.
Oh, you want me to go there now? I can go there now.
We can go there now because I know how you feel. You wanted Sean to stay retired.
Yeah. I'll put it this way. I mean, like I said, he's the only guy I still kayfabe for. That's my saying to everybody with Sean Michaels. He's the only guy I still kayfabe for. So, with that being said, like, for me to, you know, like I said, selfishly, not even putting it myself over anything, I went to WrestleMania and saw his last match. I saw him go into the Hall of Fame live. You know what I'm saying? Like, for me, it's like, that will always be my guy, and that was my guy. So, selfishly speaking, I wanted him to stay retired so I could be there, you know, and say I had that moment. That's gone now, you know? It's like, I get it. At the end of the day, wrestling is still kayfabe. It's still, you know, the retirement's real, but it's not real. You know? I mean, at the end of the day, if that man wants to come out and make seven figures, make your money, man. And so, I'm just, you know, I am happy, I will say, it saves me a couple of dollars in the sense that it's not on American soil that he's coming out of retirement. So, I don't mind that as much. Now, had it been on American soil, my butt would have been buying plane tickets. I'd have had to get a ticket for it. Because I'd have been going. I just would have been going. So, with that being said, you know, I'm like, okay. I see where, you know, I mean, it's... If that's what the people of Saudi Arabia want, and that's what they paying for, go make y'all money, WWE. I'm not even mad. So, as a fan, I'm still disgruntled, but I get the common sense in me. I get it. So I understand.
Let me ask you this. I mean, you know, is this a one-off? Because there's a lot of reports out there.
No. No, it's not a one-off. I can tell you that now. It's not a one-off.
We'll see more Shawn Michaels.
We're getting – no, I don't think we're getting let me finish that. We're not getting Shawn Michaels where we're getting him return on a part-time basis even, that we're getting a match from him every, you know, one or two a year or something like that for him. No. I think we get this. We get one more in between WrestleMania, and then we get WrestleMania, and that's it. I think that's what we're getting.
Am I – you fantasy booker. Who's his match? Who's his partner? Who his opponent at WrestleMania?
At WrestleMania, in a perfect world, he fights Taker, and if he beats Taker, Taker's career is over. You know, tit for tat. That's what. I think Shawn retires Taker. That's you know, I think that could happen. I don't.
Hold on. Ain't Taker supposed. Are you retired or gone?
No. No. I mean, yeah, no. Because he's never officially, so, you know.
I know. I'm just messing.
Nah, but, here's my thing. You want to see an HBK versus Daniel Bryan or HBK versus AJ Styles or Seth or Dolph. And this is no knock to Shawn, because I'll never knock him. I don't care. I don't think Shawn can hang, purely because of his age, I don't think Shawn can hang with any of them. Oh, right. Go Caps. Caps just scored. <I'm
sorry. laughs> I know. Yeah, I don't think his body's there, man. I think his body...
That's what I'm saying. And Shawn knows that. That's why this is a tag match. I think Shawn has to work. Honestly, I think we get Shawn and Taker in WrestleMania. You may get Shawn and Triple H. You may have Triple H do another turn, which it doesn't even matter at this point. But Shawn and Triple H.
I mean, Shawn is
53. Shawn and I don't know.
He's 53 years old, so yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, like he's definitely 53.
Yeah, he's 53 and looks like he's 80 with the bald head and a rough beard.
Yeah, but. You know? He looks in shape. I'll give him that. He definitely looks like he can still go. He may move slower, but he looks like he can go. But he's in there with the right people.
Yo, it's just a matter of when that adrenaline start kicking in, you know what I'm saying? And that muscle memory start kicking in, he'll definitely go with the best of them on there. So I think, you know, Shawn Michaels' return, I like to see guys retire and stay retired, but they're not, and for those guys out there, they're not taking somebody's place on the card. Let's be honest. Can we be real here?
Thank you. Oh, yes. That's why you were you. Thank you for saying that. They're not taking anybody that was. My logic is anybody that's supposed to be on the card, they're going to be on the card. They're going to be on there. They're going to be on there. Because I even thought about it. I was like, man, like Shinsuke Nakamura wasn't even booked for Super Showdown. But realistically, what were you going to do? Throw together a match? That wouldn't be fair to him. Yeah. You're not going to throw together a match.
He has no storyline. He's another one that's fallen by the wayside. U.S. champion, yep. With no storyline.
Yeah.
You know, they don't want to pull the trigger on Shinsuke Nakamura and Randy Orton, which I thought would be a great feud.
Mm-hmm. But
he has nobody. Unless the returning Rey Mysterio takes on Shinsuke Nakamura.
Actually going to happen. They already said that. That's gonna be another World Cup qualifier Rey Mysterio and Shinsuke at SmackDown 1000.
Look at that. And so that's the only thing you can do. So now you can continue to set that feud up. Good match there. Well, you probably get Rey in there, or get. I really see Shinsuke Nakamura win that match. To tell you the truth, but I think we'll get Rey Mysterio.
Rey's winning that, unfortunately, because I just. Unless you have an opponent ready for Shinsuke, I just still don't see them doing anything with that.
But the reason I say it would be Shinsuke Nakamura, if you look at those who already qualified for that match, you have John Cena face, Kurt Angle face, Jeff Hardy face, and then you have Randy Orton. I don't see them putting another face in there.
Well, that would be the last face if you do four faces.
Yeah. Then you come back with four heels.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I think that will be Shinsuke and Rey Mysterio. I think will be a good match. I think they could do well with it. I think Shinsuke, Raw 1000 guys in DC get that. you know, so.
Mm-hmm.
Raw 1000. Speaking of Raw 1000, you know, Evolution reunites. SmackDown 1000. Evolution reunites there. I'm interested to see how this segment goes because everybody's in different parts of their life right now.
Love that. It's going to go the same way when they did it at Raw 15. Well, yeah, the Raw 15th anniversary back in 07? Yeah. Back in 07 with when they tried to reform Evolution and they had Randy Orton, you know, kind of not, because, you know, Randy Orton was the only heel.
Mm-hmm.
And then he came out and Randy Orton came out and teamed with Edge and Umaga. Yeah. And they fought, And they fought Evolution. They fought Triple H, Ric Flair, and Batista. I don't think we get that, but, you know, it'll be the same premise. I think Randy Orton will be the standoffish one in this.
It would. I think Batista. Yeah, Batista. Or you might see something set up a little bit later down the line with Batista and Triple H, since that's one of Batista's dream matches that he always wants to see.
Is what him and...
Him and Triple H. That was his match. He said if he would come back, he would want match with Triple H at WrestleMania.
Well, you know me. I'm going to be literal. It's not really a dream match in the sense that they've already had it at WrestleMania.
Right. I mean, but he wants to do it again.
But yeah, I see what you're saying.
I'm using his words.
I understand.
All right, Russ. Speaking of SmackDown, give me some of your top SmackDown moments.
Of the past 1,000 shows, let's go back to show number one. Shawn Michaels super kicking The Rock and costing him the opportunity to the WWE Championship. Thought it was well done. Just sucks that because Shawn wasn't in the best shape to compete, we never got anything out of it. It pretty much died right there. You know, we never got anything out of that with Shawn and Hunter and Rock, and it just moved on without him. But that's a good one. Let me see. Definitely, I would say the post 9/11 show as a whole. That was good. They did that. Big Show and not Big Show. I'm sorry. Yeah, Big Show. Yeah, I'm sorry. Big Show and Lesnar suplex. Yeah. That's a good one.
Right. The first one.
Vince McMahon winning the WWF Championship early, and I think it was September, October of 99.
Mm-hmm.
Those first couple of months of SmackDown back in 99 when it first came on was really, really good. It was really good. Actually, you know what? I'll even go a step further. The first couple of years of SmackDown, I'd say 98 through 02, were all really good.
I give you a moment that I remember that I loved on SmackDown. It is Booker T and Stone Cold in the grocery store.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That, to me, if you haven't watched that, go on YouTube and pull that up. Booker T and Stone Cold Steve Austin in the grocery store. To me, I thought that was done real well, and that's when WWE really would do vignettes outside of the arena. I think that's what makes Becky Lynch and Charlotte's thing so well, because a lot of it is done is backstage and not necessarily in the ring. But Booker T and Stone Cold was great for me. I thought that was good. I give you another one that most people don't really talk about, and I want your thoughts on this one. It's Brock Lesnar and Hulk Hogan from 2002.
You know what? Yes. I thought that was done so well. I don't know if that was Hogan's idea or just creative forcing him to do it. I don't know. But whoever put Lesnar over and having him squeeze the life out of Hogan in the process, smart move. because it made Brock was already stepped up, but it stepped him up that much more as a believable contender to win the championship.
Yeah, he made Hogan pass out. You know, I thought that was good.
Mm-hmm.
Brock Lesnar showed how powerful that he was at the time, and who would have known that Brock Lesnar would have went on after that, become the UFC champion, and doing everything that he's doing now.
Absolutely.
I give you one because his birthday just passed. I think today's his birthday, or his birthday was yesterday. Was the Eddie Guerrero celebration?
Oh, yeah. And I guess you could throw in Jeff Hardy's first and second, his WWE and his World Heavyweight Championship celebrations in Baltimore, both of them.
Yeah. You know, I think that one was good. And then, you know, I think we got to go one more, too, when you talk about great moments on SmackDown. Edge's cash-in, I think 2007?
Yes. When he beat Kennedy for it, yes.
Thought that was a good moment there, too, right on SmackDown. I mean, SmackDown has a lot of great moments. I mean, you know, at Raw 1000, I guess DC will get The Rock. I'm calling it now. I probably will. You some way, some shape, or form.
Mm.
You'll get The Rock somehow.
I'm just gonna not. I'd rather be surprised with that. I don't think I'm just gonna lean on the side of us not getting it. But anything is possible. Like you're alluding to.
Anything is possible. I mean, SmackDown 1,000 shows. So it's been a lot of people. I went on WWE.com, and they had the 100 women from SmackDown. And I had to go back and look at it because they was doing it in alphabetical order. If you go on the WWE website and check it out, and probably after that I say this, they probably fix it.
It was 100? It was 100 or 100 women's moment?
It was 100. It was 100 women. They did the 100 women from SmackDown. Like, 100 women that was on SmackDown.
Really?
And they went, I mean, you got people like Nydia. You had people like, what's the girl that won Tough Enough? Linda Miles. I'm going to call her by her real name.
Yeah.
That was on there, but I noticed that they missed somebody, and I never figured it out, and I didn't want to look up. I said, I'm gonna ask the wizard this. Gail Kim was on SmackDown, correct?
Say Gail Kim.
Yeah, it was Gail Kim was on SmackDown.
I think she was on Raw, man.
She's never was on SmackDown.
I don't remember her being on SmackDown at all. I remember her being on Raw. I don't remember her being on SmackDown.
Because her name was off, definitely not on that list.
The only other thing I can think of, because she had two runs in WWE, didn't she? She was in WWE before she went to TNA, right?
Yes. You know what, Gail Kim was definitely on SmackDown, because it was Gail Kim, Michelle McCool versus Gail Kim and Maria. So Gail Kim was on SmackDown before.
Yeah, okay. Then there you go.
But is there beef between WWE and Gail Kim?
I don't know. I mean, everybody remembers how she exited the company. So, I don't know. I mean, you know, we don't work back there, so we really don't know. But
we'll see.
We remember, though.
And then, you know, we talked about 205 earlier. A surprise return tonight on 205. Mike Kanellis is back.
Yeah.
Which is good for him. Good for him and good for 205.
It's definitely good for 205. That's what I was going to say.
Definitely good for 205 there for him to return back into the WWE after his substance abuse battles. And he's recovering well. His wife, lovely wife, Maria Kanellis, is also with him. It's good to see these guys back on WWE television. And 205 is, if you don't, like I mentioned earlier, it is shaping up to be a must-watch show. That Wednesday night lineup is great. That Wednesday night lineup for WWE programming on WWE Network, man, it is a wonderful lineup. You get the Mae Young Classic,
yeah, you
get 205,
good.
You get NXT, you get all the wrestling you need from Monday night to Tuesday night to Wednesday night. You get definitely get some good wrestling. And then those of you who she's just not just WWE fans. You can get Impact Wrestling on Thursday. You can get New Japan on Friday. You get wrestling every day of the week if you want it. Depends on when you get your Ring of Honor on Saturday or Sunday, but you can definitely get wrestling every day of the week. But nonetheless, SmackDown moments, SmackDown 1000, next week coming from Washington, D.C. Yo, let us hear your SmackDown moments. Share some of your SmackDown moments in the comments section below, or share let us know what was your favorite SmackDown moment. And I guess everybody's SmackDown moment based off the generation will be different. But I, like I said, one of my favorite was Booker T and Stone Cold Steve Austin in the grocery store. Had to be a great, it was a great moment. Check it out on YouTube. Very good moment there. Hey, but Wizard, you know, we're not going to keep it on a little bit much longer. As always, giving you closing thoughts, and let's take us home.
We got Raw from Philly Monday night. But the big emphasis, like you've been talking about, is on SmackDown 1000. I think it's going to be a good nostalgic show, and I'll be there, and I'm looking forward to it.
Definitely looking forward to that.
And Ovi just scored again. So, yeah. That's a rolling.
Definitely looking forward to that. Also, too, don't read too much in the fact that Dean Ambrose walked away from the Shield. It's not going to happen, ladies and gentlemen.
Not yet, at least.
It's definitely not going to happen. Hey, as always, thanks for joining us. Always subscribe to us on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher. Hit the subscribe button here on YouTube. Hit the bell notification so you never miss any of our updates, whether it's the Raw Reaction Show, whether it's the SmackDown Review Show, whether it's the Wrestling Marks of Excellence podcast. Also, leave a 5-star review on iTunes for those listening there. Hey, Wizard, take us home.
And if you're not confirmed, consider yourself denied.
Good night, ladies and gentlemen. End of story.